your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
Hour two of the bullpen starts now. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, live from By the Wayside in East Downtown here until 3 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe will take over then and carry until 6. Sean and I at Tom's Watch Bar downtown, 3 to 5 tomorrow, so come by and say hello. But
I need to write that down, 3 to 5.
3 to it 5 is that you feel like you're going to – I feel like that fits you better, like you with your lifestyle. Like even a show starting at noon, I feel like it's 50-50.
It's up in the air.
It's up in the air, yeah. Although you've never been late. But
to the bullpen, yes.
To the bullpen, yes. That's right. There was that thing with John Lance once. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
That was less – that was more, I didn't know I was working that day.
Okay. All right. But like Big Voice Guy said, we are at By the Wayside in East Downtown, where they have happy hours Monday through Friday till 6 p.m., $10 select signature cocktails, $8 classic cocktails, and $6 drafts. Open for all World Cup games, now open 7 days a week, and you can check out their Instagram for the live music schedule. Sean and I are sipping on a couple of their signature cocktails. Sean got the discounts as self-care. I got the Burning by Daylight, which I am about 80% through here, so it's very tasty. But make sure you come by and stop by. Say hello to Will. He's taking care of us here. Nice guy here, and a really cool spot. You can see it on the camera with all the couches. Very cozy, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the more cozy spots we've come, what, that could be, I wouldn't call this a sports bar, although they have sports on TV. They're showing all the World Cup games, but a very cozy, chill place.
Yeah, very, very cool spot. Way too cool, I think, for me. This
yeah,
is like a
no,
little,
same. And if it's too cool for you, yeah, then what am I doing
is,
here?
This is a little like, okay, I feel like I'm the square.
You
here.
Walk in, everyone's like, who yeah. let that guy in? Aren't they checking the door?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great spot. We got the stage right next to us for some live entertainment here.
Yeah, a couple guitars, a bass hanging up. There's a drum set over there. Pretty cool spot. All right, so let's get back to Major League Baseball. Sean, I kind of feel like I go back and forth on whose side I'm on this with Major League Baseball and the Players Union, because I do believe, just as a default, that the idea of a salary cap to take this way too seriously is un-American. Now, I know, because we've been conditioned to that with, you know, hockey, with the NBA, with the NFL, that we're all just kind of used to that. But, like, other than sports, what profession could you be in where they just go, yeah, you can only make this amount of money?
No, it's socialist.
It's completely un-American.
It's a socialist concept. Yeah,
it for sure is. So I find myself leaning towards that normally, but at the same time, for the good of the sport, I do look at it like, I'd rather it be more like the NBA or the NFL, where you have small market teams be able to compete, where you have parity. Where you have, although NBA, what is it, 8 straight years with a different champion?
8 straight years with a different champion. But I will say with the NBA, like, they do, in recent history, have more parity. But you still are in the situation where, like, Oklahoma City is in a tough spot because they drafted too well, and they have too many good players that you
but
can't pay them
like
all.
But a city like Oklahoma City could compete, though. Milwaukee
yes,
can win a title.
But they are more impacted by the cap limits and the
true.
Paying the luxury tax than if that team was in Los Angeles. So it is, you're still feeling the pain of, like, your market limitations.
Yeah.
It is just, yeah, beforehand, part of that's the draft, other things where you can compete, and obviously making amazing trades. Like Sam Presti was on just a heater from 2019.
The Paul George SGA trade.
Until, honestly, today, really. He's still on a heater. But I think that's part of it with the luxury tax stuff, is that no matter what you have, if there is a system where you get penalized for spending more, well, the Dodgers can withstand that penalty better than the Cleveland Guardians, whoever. Like, that,
they are
that
the
is
lowest,
just inherent
just normal payroll.
Yeah, that is just an inherent, like, fact of what happens.
That I have had that thought, because I do think it brings the divide between the haves and the have-nots closer together if you do go with what they're talking about with the salary cap and the salary floor, forcing not only the Dodgers to shed salary, but forcing teams like the Marlins and Guardians to spend more. But I don't think it fixes necessarily the idea of two different bases. Like, there's still going to be haves and have-nots, right?
Yes.
Like, I still think, okay, you force the Guardians, you force the Marlins up to 171. Well, they're probably going to stop at 171.
Yeah, like they.
Whereas Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, they're going to go all the way up to 245.
Unless they are hiding their profits and withholding the profits.
Right.
Like, even more than we already kind of accept that they are.
Probably so.
Like, for the Guardians, for the Marlins, they're in, like, the $70 million range this year.
Yeah.
The floor for the owner's proposal is 170. They will have to spend $100 extra million, and they can apparently do that like easily, like that.
Sean,
why can they not do that today?
You just opened the third eye for me, because you're 100% right. I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before, because like you said, this is a proposal coming from the owners. So the owners of these teams spending $79 million today are saying, yeah, I could easily spend 171.
Yeah, 170, and I'm good.
I could easily spend 171. So we're talking about nearly double what they're currently paying, like, yeah, no problem. So, yeah, they're actively trying not to compete.
Yeah.
Although the Guardians actually would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're actually good.
They do run things well.
Guardians and the Rays get a little bit of,
sure,
like, you're one of the good ones. Like, you could just spend more money and be way better. But
you're already good by not spending money, so why would you?
Yeah, it's more the blights on the league, like
the
Marlins.
A's
and
the Marlins.
Royals. And
Pirates.
Yeah. We all know.
We know the teams, the Rockies.
Yeah, I think that's something where you almost have to – the way to actually do it is to make it to where being those teams, being the Royals, being the Rockies, being the Marlins, is like it's actually not beneficial for you to only spend $78 million on your roster.
Yeah, like, I don't know how you accomplish that.
Again, yeah, that you have to go after like revenue sharing and stuff like that, where it's like, no, actually, like what matters most for being profitable as a baseball team isn't lowering your payroll, it's winning baseball games. That is the way to successfully.
That would be a way to force these teams into it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that though. But I mean, I guess there's a way. But I don't think the owners would agree to it though.
No, because they, you know, they get to set the rules of the game, and they wouldn't do something like that where, like you pointed out in the last segment, where eight teams are over the proposed salary cap.
Yep.
And 12 are 12 under the floor. So more teams are not spending the floor for next year. If the MLPBA, for whatever reason, just was like, yep, we accept. Baseball's on. We love these terms. Like, if they did that, like, more teams than not would have to spend more money than lose than shed salary.
The players' union should spend it exactly that way, because if the whole idea of what the owners view as something holding back the game is the disparity between the haves and the have-nots in taking away hope and excitement from these small market teams, right? If that's what's causing this two leagues scenario, well, really the more of the problem is the team's not spending enough.
Yeah.
It's not so much
that is the problem with baseball.
It's not so much that the Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Yankees spend too much, is that the Marlins, the Guardians, the Rockies, the Rays, and all these other, the Pirates, these other teams don't spend enough.
Yep.
I mean, it's right there in the numbers that they put out. 12 teams are under the projected salary floor that they're proposing. So if you're going to talk about the divide in spending causing this untenable situation, well, it's more on the lower end than it is on the higher end.
Yeah, if the Marlins, who, by the way, play in the same city as the Miami Heat,
yeah,
who just traded for Giannis Antetokounmpo,
right,
and had LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all on the same team
right
together, they're in a market that can spend money.
Yes.
Like there's nothing specific about Miami.
Oh, the Miami Hurricanes might be spending more money than the Miami Marlins.
The Florida Marlins might be spending more money than, like, or the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, Florida Panthers. Oh, yeah, like, sure. Like, I mean, I feel like without a doubt, right?
So there's... there's that where you're like this, like the Marlins being held up as some team that can't spend money to compete. It's like, well, every other team in your city is a glamour market except for you guys.
Yeah.
I think it's more what you guys are doing wrong.
Especially with this historical aspect of the Marlins. Like, it's not like, oh, well, they hit a downturn and now they can't spend.
No,
like,
they win the World Series and fire sale.
This has been who they've been since they came into the league in 94, I think it was. Yeah, it's win the World Series in 97, get rid of everybody. Win the World Series again, I think, in 2003.
03.
and then get rid of everybody and haven't done a damn thing since. I think they made the playoffs, I think, one time since 2003.
Yeah, expanded COVID postseason.
Yeah,
they
were in that
one. Another, and
I think they actually played in Houston because there was it was all those neutral site games in that COVID playoff until the World – well, even including the World Series, I think. But going more onto the divide between the players and the owners themselves. So besides the whole idea of the salary cap, salary floor that the owners want to put in, the other things they're trying to get put in, and this is feels very much pointed at the Dodgers and pretty much no one else, as it would come to pass, and like and you saw in that video. Like if you haven't seen it, the on the website with, that they tweeted out, there's actually a video of fans bashing the Dodgers as part of the package of the Major League Baseball trying to sell you on what they want to do. But other things they want to do with their proposal, no more deferred contracts, which I think universally we're all okay with.
Yeah,
but it's really only one team.
Like,
it's Shohei, it's Kyle Tucker. Did they do the defer with Yamamoto? I know they gave him $300 million, but
I'm not sure. Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Diaz was also highly deferred. I know, obviously, Shohei.
Shohei
was egregious.
Yeah.
$700 million contract. Only $20 million was up front.
Yeah.
$680 million of the $700 million deferred. Just absurd.
Yeah, I think defer because that's not really a thing in any other sport.
No.
So
it's completely gaming the system.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we'll pay
basketball
you that,
has a version of
we'll
it,
but spread it out over 1,000 years, so your great great grandchildren get to reap the benefit.
Yeah.
But we can have all the money up front, so we can spend even more and pay Kyle Tucker. So Major League Baseball wants to get rid of deferred contracts. They also want to, as we mentioned in the last segment, bring in something like the NBA bird rights. Where in the NBA, and you can help me out with some of the details here, Sean, but basically the idea is if you sign with your own team, you get an extra year, you get extra money. That's basically the quick synopsis, nuts and bolts of that. Major League Baseball wants to do a similar thing, which they're calling like the cornerstone player, where free agents would be limited to if they leave their own team currently. Now, this will scale up as the – because it's based upon a percentage. It's based on 15% of the cap.
Yeah.
So this will scale up over time.
Basketball is the same way.
Basketball is the same
different
way.
Different percentage.
But based on the current proposal of $245 million, free agents that leave their teams would be limited to 5 years, $202 million. How much did Juan Soto get, Sean?
I think Jeff Passan tweeted out he got 3X the years and 4X the money or something like
that. Very close. So – free agents who leave their team would be only allowed to make 5 years, $202 million if they leave their team. Juan Soto got 3X the years you're dead on there, $3.8 the dollars.
So, yeah.
And it's not just Juan Soto. We mentioned, obviously, Shohei Ohtani got $700 million. Yamamoto got $300 million. Garrett Cole, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, got over $300 million.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bryce Harper, Fernando Tatis. Like, there's tons of guys in
on
the league.
And on
that
and on. Would like all Manny have Machado.
To,
yeah.
Manny Machado. They'd all have to be grandfathered in, but, you know, that there's tons of – there's so many players that were making more –
Did
that,
Yordan might have gotten a bigger
– No,
actually,
no.
Because he wasn't 200.
Was like, it was under 200.
And he wasn't a free agent.
No.
So it's different. Never mind.
The longest contract, if you re-signed with your own team, as similar to the NBA, would go up. Instead of 5 years, you could go to 6. And instead of $202 million, you could go to $265. So they're trying to incentivize staying with your own team, trying to prevent guys like Paul Skeens, Bobby Witt Jr., these stars from smaller market teams from leaving. And they're calling that, like I said, the cornerstone. Like, I think that is – not that the players will ever agree to a salary cap, which is why we're going to have a work stoppage, but I almost feel like they would have more objection to the limiting of the individual player contracts because we're talking about locking in a guy like Juan Soto to $200 million when he made like $750. Like, we're talking, it's not like...
Yeah.
Now, I know in a negotiation, you always start with, like, way less than you'd actually take so you can work towards a middle, right? You don't start with your best possible offer. But they have to know there's no way Major League the Players Association will say, yeah, that guy that was going to make $750, he can only make $200 now.
Yeah, yeah. They're
it's just a non-starter.
There's no way that this ever gets accepted. Mainly because of the player thing. Like, if you want to – you can even – you know, there's a case to be made that, like, even the NBA shouldn't have a – like, you keep the cap, but you don't have a max salary spot, and it's like
– I agree with that.
Because, like, you know, I would keep the prime cap. LeBron James would have made 85% of the salary.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, he would. And he carried a team with Booby Gibson and Zdrunas Ilgauskas is still final, so maybe he deserved it.
And baseball, it's a little bit different with just as far as, I mean, look at Paul Skenes on the Pirates. Like, there's only so much he could do. And so even if you do pay him, you know, 90% of the salary cap, like, your team's going to look a lot like the Pittsburgh Pirates have looked the last 3 years.
Right.
So there is, I guess, like a self-policing aspect of if you put in a cap, like, you don't actually need hard and fast rules for max salary caps. Those will kind of get softly enforced. You know, same thing with it's a lot like football, where it's like, you know, there is just kind of a limit of what you can pay, you know, I mean, defensive ends, non-quarterbacks, essentially, of even these, like, glamour positions, these, like, you know, not quarterback, most important position in football, but, like, those next one downs, like, even corner, when Stingley gets paid, it's like, is he worth $30 million? Yeah, but not 40. You know, like, there is, like, a, again, yeah, like a self-policing aspect.
Yeah, the teams will police it themselves. Like, we're not going to get a salary cap, but I actually would be far more for the idea of a salary cap than this player, individual player limit. Because, like you said, like, if a team wants to go out and give 90% of their salary cap to one player, okay, well,
yeah,
and good luck building the rest of your roster, pal. Like, go stars and scrubs like you're building the DraftKings ladder. But, you know, good luck with that. Like, I feel like, like you said, we mentioned the NFL, like, there's a salary cap, but there's no individual limit on quarterbacks can only get this, corners can only get this, or whatever. But they figure it out. Like, these GMs are looking at it and go, okay, well, our most important player is a quarterback, so we're going to give him X amount of the salary cap. And they figure it out. There's no need for this. Other than trying to keep small market teams for keeping their players.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence can make $55 million a year,
right,
being the 10th best quarterback in football, whatever, ballpark. Just stay with me. And Danielle Hunter doesn't make that, even though he's the fourth best defensive end.
Yeah.
So, again, ballpark, all numbers estimates. There is that element to it. So, I there's no way, you know, like, this gets Mutumbo'd into the stands by the PA, but it is at least interesting.
There are aspects I like.
Yeah, and there's a little bit, I'm sure it's just not in, like, the bullet points, and basketball has a version of, like, how you keep this from happening, but if you're a free agent, why don't you just take a one-year deal? Why don't you just take a one-year deal at whatever that one-year max will be, and then re-sign with your now incumbent team, your cornerstone player team,
right,
at the higher max that you can get with those guys, so you're, you know, maximizing.
You're gaming the system.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, the NBA has a version of that where you have to stay for more than 1 year, but, like, there is some element of, like, oh, it's, even the policing you're trying to do isn't that effective.
Yeah, I think that's never going to fly. Like, it, and there are aspects of this that I like the supposed concessions that the MLB owners have already agreed. They've already accepted it. There's a deal in place, apparently, according to the owners, right? But the things they've thrown out there where they kind of throw the players a bone, I do like they're allowing now under this proposal for players under 30 or over 30, that is, to get to free agency a year younger. Like
so
right
if
now,
you get called up at 25.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're free agent at 30 instead of 31. Like if you're over the age of 30, your service time to be a full free agent, and it goes from 6 down to 5. They're also going to double the minimum salary to bring it up over $1 million in most cases. There's some kind of like service time thing there, but the big picture thing is it doubles it to over $1 million. And they're also going to eliminate the qualifying offer, which players look at as like slowing
That's
down the market.
Probably the biggest concession, I think.
It is, but when you look at all those things, they are such small potatoes to what the owners are
very
asking
small potatoes.
For.
Very
like
small.
When you look at, okay, we're shaving a year off your service clock. We're getting rid of qualifying offers, which it's not insignificant. Oh, we're doubling the minimum salary from $500,000 to $1 million. It is 1% of what the owners are asking for with bringing the cap all the way down to $245 million. And to ask these players who were once making $750 million to only take $200 million of their contracts.
Yeah, and if you're just being very, you know, whatever, numbers game about it, like the qualifying offer thing, while big,
it's not nothing. It's just not anything compared to what the owners are asking.
It also
for.
Affects what 8 to 12 guys a year.
Yeah, I have no idea the
you
numbers,
know like how many guys get the qualifying offer
right.
already.
And I think Frommer got a qualifying
offer. Yeah, it's not that many.
It may be one or two guys. like one guy per team for the most part. Like it's
if
not gonna,
that. If that. It might be lower.
It's probably on average even less than that, but you're right.
And then the free agency a year sooner if you're over 30, that's another one where it's like, while it is, you know, beneficial
it's,
to those guys,
it's something.
It's not like affecting the...
It's not life-changing.
And it's not affecting the overall player base. You know,
right.
Like, it's the minimum thing is the only thing where it's like, if you actually add up how many guys make the minimum on an MLB roster, like, it probably is close to half the guys, you know, especially on your Marlins of the world.
Yeah, all the Marlins for sure. Yeah. Like the Astros, it's probably like Lo Profito.
It's all the rookies.
Yeah,
or
all the
rookie-scale guys.
All the rookie-scale guys.
Yeah.
But, like, even to some of the concessions they make, not only is it small potatoes, but if you think about the thing with the service clock to get to free agency going from 6 years down to 5 years, like, who's that affecting, really? Now, it affects some guys. Some guys do
JP
come...
JP France.
If exactly. It affects JP France. It affects Ronel Blanco. Like, these super prospects who would get the $500 million contract, they're coming up at 22. Their 6 years are done at 28. Like, this is not affecting... It's a very small pool of players, and compared to the overall pie of the money being distributed, it's a very small amount of money compared to the guys making the most money who are all hitting free agency before 30 anyway.
And that if you're...
Like, I think it may have affected George Springer maybe, but that's like a rare case of a big money guy that it would have helped.
Borderline. Yeah,
borderline.
He's like... He was like 29, 30, 30.
Yeah, he was right on the borderline.
Yeah, and then like, okay, that's cool that, you know... George Springer gets to hit free agency after 2019 and not 2020, and that JP France gets to hit free agency earlier.
He'll probably be out of the league before he gets to that 5 years. But
you know,
best of luck, pal.
Paul Skeens is shaving off like $300 million on his next contract.
Right, Paul Skeens, who came up like 21 years old.
Yeah.
Guess what? His 6 years are done before 30.
He's
doesn't
gonna,
help him.
Well, it's also like, and if he wants to leave, there's a max contract offer that's again $300 million less than what he would actually make.
Like if you're exactly like if you're weighing it from the Players Association side, right? It's like, okay, do we help out the JP Francis of the world, you know, or the George Springer? Like, well, let's even go on the high end of this for these players. Listen, do we help out George Springer reach free agency 1 year earlier? Or do we help Paul Skeens make like $300 extra million?
And
it's that way across. Like the amount of money you're helping on the by getting this is pales in comparison to the money you're losing by taking it.
You know, doubling every minimum guy's salary, like it
doesn't add up.
It
doesn't add up.
It probably benefits more total players, but it like it's not equal.
Yeah, the money is far more on the other side. All right. We'll probably talk about this more, you know, obviously in the coming future as
probably,
more.
Probably a lot next spring.
Yeah, a lot next spring when we don't have baseball. But we'll go ahead and move off of it for now. If you do want to weigh in, you can call or text the HRP listen line, 713-780-3776. But when we get back, we'll continue our NFL vibe checks, checking in on the AFC North. Brian and Sean live from By the Wayside in East Downtown. We'll be right back.
To your local Taqueria Arandas.
Is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
All right, back here live at By the Wayside, where they have happy hours Monday through Friday until 6 o'clock with $10 select signature cocktails. Well, Sean and I have already finished both of our signature cocktails. Sean had the discounts of self-care, which is a vodka matcha coconut cream drink, and I had the Burning Daylight, which is called tequila strawberry citrus in what's just listed as heat. I'm not sure what heat would be in that equation.
You
but
tell me.
I don't know. I
drank
it all. It was very good. But make sure you stop by, try those signature cocktails. I also have $6 draft beers, and they're open for all World Cup games, now open 7 days a week. Watch their Instagram for live. Their live music schedule, but this place is your Houston's newest World Cup watch party. I was talking to our guy Will who's been helping us out. They just opened up in, I believe it's April, he said, so they haven't been open very long. But they got every World Cup match on the TV. There's a TV right behind us if you're looking on the
YouTube screen. 29 minutes, there'll be a Norway-France game.
That's right, with no Haaland, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Erling Haaland,
there we go. I got there. It's kind of.
I got you.
Kind of there.
I got you.
But unfortunately, both teams don't need it. So
yes.
I thought they might go for it, both teams, since they needed to win the group. But they've kind of both opted for, not really.
Yeah,
we're both talented enough to, even if we lose the group, that we'll take that lower seed.
Yeah, it's a little interesting. We don't need to get
but every World Cup match is on. You can watch it inside here in this really comfortable lounge. You got the couches here like you're sitting in your own living room, except for you got a fully stocked bar on like your living room.
And these seats that we're
these
sitting
seats
in.
Are so comfortable, Sean.
This is by
like
far
like yesterday.
The best
I was hyping Ducky McSweeney's for like the best TV setup of these bars we went to. By the wayside, best seating arrangement for any bar that we've been to.
Yes.
Easily.
I would have these in my house.
100%. 100%. If the wife is listening, we're ordering these. I don't know where it's from. I don't know where it's from, but we're going to order it. And if you don't want to watch it here, they have a 13-foot outdoor patio as well.
Yeah.
Lots of parking, just a couple miles from the FIFA Fan Festival that's nearby. So make sure you stop by or after if you're headed out there as well. So, Sean, it's time to check in with another NFL division with our ongoing series of NFL vibe checks, this time with the AFC North. We are into the AFC after going through the NFC the last 2 days. Starting off with, you know what, I flipped these just because I think the Ravens are better. But we'll go with the actual divisional champs. We'll show them a little bit of respect, I guess. The team that the Texans smacked around the playoffs, well, in the fourth quarter. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are your defending division champs. Ran all over them in the fourth quarter. The Pittsburgh Steelers are defending divisional champs. They were 10-7 last year, ranked 15th on offense, 17th on defense, and points per game. Obviously fired Mike Tomlin, although I think they
Mutually parted ways.
We know what it was. But, yeah, they gave him a little bit of a softer exit there. Bring in Mike McCarthy. You look at key adds, key losses. Obviously, they bring in Michael Pittman from the Colts. Bring in Rico Dowdle, the running back from the Panthers, also formerly of the Cowboys, AJ's boys. And they lose Kenny Gainwell, their pass-catching running back, to the Buccaneers. What is your overall vibe right now, Sean, with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Very, very, very low ceiling. Now, actually, not very low, but just very well-defined ceiling.
I feel like their ceiling and their floor is about 1 foot from each other.
See, I think the floor is a little bit lower. Just, I mean, it's a classic NFL thing. We talked about it with the Bucs yesterday, too, of just like, I guess we're running it back again with these old dogs and you know with
they're not as good as they once were, Sean.
Yeah,
but
there's
no. I don't even know if I can do the next part of the Toby Keith line. I don't think there's as good ones as they ever were.
I actually don't think Aaron Rodgers can be as good as he ever
was. They're just not. Toby Keith just stops the song. He just I'm not as good as I once was. End of song.
There was a time back in his prime, Aaron Rodgers could really hold it down.
That time
unfortunately,
was past.
It's not
that time is over.
And it's also like. Aaron Rodgers isn't obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers from 2016.
No, he old.
But then, like, it's also very dependent.
As in my age.
It's also very dependent on this 42-year-old man.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a terrible spot to be in life.
Wait, hold on a second. As my weekly co-host, what are you saying, Sean?
but you know, if Aaron Rodgers goes down, you're looking at Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Drew Aller as your cavalry on the way. Like, if it's so funny, neither of us think Aaron Rodgers has that much left in the tank. Also, if he gets hurt,
they're screwed.
You're on top five pick alert.
Yes, they are.
Mix that in with the defense, where hey, it's a lot of names that you recognize,
but they're old.
Good news, bad news. It's a lot of names I recognize.
Because Cam Hayward's been in the league for 13 years, because T.J. Watt's been in the league for 9 years or whatever.
Yes, and has played I don't know 10 games in each of the last couple of seasons.
Yeah,
you got Alex Highsmith, who I like, Patrick Queen, who I like, Joey Porter Jr. Still working on that contract. Jalen Ramsey is on this team.
Oh, that's right.
I
forgot Jalen Ramsey was on that team.
It's an old group.
Very old.
And just we've been watching NFL long enough that when you hit the wall, you hit it, and it might be really
ugly. There. So is that the vibe? They've hit the wall?
I think they're I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are 6-11 team.
You know what? You talked me into it. I think I take back my comment of their floor is 1 foot below their ceiling. I do think there's a floor that's quite a bit lower there. Like, they had Michael Pittman. I don't know what you think of DK Metcalf, but like, I think DK Metcalf he's aight, but he's very dependent upon, like, I think a great quarterback. Like, DK Metcalf is not an elevate my quarterback type of receiver.
He is in that next tier down from, like, you know, I think even Nico below, Collins is in that.
I think he's below the Nico tier. Wherever you would tier Nico, I would put DK on the tier below
if
that.
Nico, like, I always say, like, he's top eight, you know?
Just, I have Nico about eight. I'd probably put
DK's probably like 12, you know?
12 to 15, yeah. Like, I don't want to run over the full list, but, like, I mean, the wide receiver talent, in theory, is there. Mm-hmm. I like the addition of Rico Dowdle at running back to add to Jalen Warren. So I think they have enough there. The defense is old, and I don't trust Rodgers to make the most of his talent.
I was going to say.
I don't trust Mike McCarthy all that much.
Even the wide receiver talent, it's like, cool, are you bombing it deep with Aaron Rodgers who wants to get rid of the ball in 2 seconds? Like, it's just
it's such
a mismatch.
Yeah, because DK Metcalf is very much he's kind of like A.J. Brown. Like, he's a deep play guy. He's not a short, quick over the middle.
Yeah.
Right. So he's not – like you said, Aaron Rodgers wants to get rid of the ball quick, which is, I think, in part why, other than also who their OC was years with Arthur, well, they had so many tight ends. Because it's just like, we need guys to just, you know, run 3 yards, turn around, right? That's not DK Metcalf, so I don't think they get the most out of him. But I am definitely down on the Steelers. I don't think they win the division again. I'd also say I don't think they finish second in the division. Looking forward as we continue to go through this, the AFC North. But do you have their win-loss total in front of you, Sean? What's
it
at?
8.5.
That's a pretty good line, Vegas. That's a pretty good line. Shout out to Vegas. I see why you're building casinos.
I'll go
under. Okay. Oh, you'll go. Okay, well, go ahead.
Also under. I'm lower on them than you are.
I think they win 7-8. Yeah. So I'd probably stay away because just the Steelers seem to witchcraft their way into 9-10 wins, but
Mike Tomlin.
That was a Mike Tomlin witchcraft. You're right. So maybe the witchcraft is
and
over.
McCarthy's not a bad coach.
You're right. Like, we can't forget. What was it? AJ, 3 straight years of 12 wins with the Cowboys. Is that right? Yeah. Like, Mike McCarthy gets a bad rap. He's not bad.
It's the roster more.
Like,
can
he rekindle the magic he had 10 years ago with Aaron
Rodgers?
Not
good
enough.
Think
he can. Yeah. I don't think
AJ vibe check.
Yeah. What's your vibe?
Yeah, I think they'll probably win, like, around 8 games. Like, the same type of thing. Y'all said, like, if Aaron Rodgers gets injured, you don't want that to happen. Of course, like, God forbid anyone getting injured. But that might be the best thing for them because they can end up getting a top 5 pick because they need to get out of that middle, being mediocre, / not being good enough to have a top pick, but also not being good enough to be a Super Bowl contender. So
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good point where it's like –
they've been stuck in that middle purgatory forever.
If they have the fourth pick in the draft, like, that might be the best thing for them.
Yeah, they can. What was the term your buddy came up with for sucking for Arch?
Oh, ass for Arch.
Ass for Arch. There we go. So they could go ass for Arch. All right, let's move on to the Ravens. Finished second in the division last year at 8-9. Offense, they ranked 11th in points per game, 18th on defense. Of course, they made the coaching change. Out goes John Harbaugh. In comes Jesse Minter, along with Declan Doyle as their new OC, who, just quick side note, youngest OC in the league now, just at the age of 30. He's exactly your age, Johnny's 30, so he's calling plays. What are you doing? You're co-hosting with
me. I also call plays.
What are you doing with your life?
I've called way more plays than Declan Doyle.
You know what? You're right. Between college football and Madden, you've called way more plays than Declan Doyle. But key losses, of course, I threw this in here even though they didn't technically have him, but key loss Max Crosby because they kind of had him and then they didn't. And then
that does not count, but okay.
Also losing the bigger one, obviously, was their center, Tyler Lindenbaum.
2 days.
They had him for 2 days. Tyler Lindenbaum, their all-pro center, they lose to the Raiders. Also, they add in Trey Hendrickson to replace the temporary loss of Max Crosby, who they kind of never had. They definitely didn't have him, I guess. I still don't understand what happened there, other than the Ravens are kind of low rent there.
Yeah.
But what's your vibe right now on the Ravens? Obviously returning most of the same guys on offense, Lamar, Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry. Isaiah likely goes out, but they still have Mark Andrews, who's 1,000 years old. What's the vibe on the Ravens?
I was expecting to be pretty high on these guys, and then maybe it's just the, like, how it lines up on our doc with key adds and then losses, where I'm like, the losses feel the losses feel worse than the ads feel good. You know,
yeah. Like I mean, that's not their whole offseason, but it's
yeah,
just like,
but
like Harbaugh, big star players.
Harbaugh and Lindenbaum out with Mentor, Declan Doyle, so two guys in roles that we've never seen them before,
right.
And Trey Hendrickson. Like, it's just, it doesn't feel like they should be that much improved from 8-9 last year, but 8-9 also came with a lot of, like...
Missing Lamar.
Yeah, came... So, I think just, like, getting Lamar back, we didn't bring up Nnamdi Matabike coming back.
Yeah.
I think that, like...
They had so many injuries on defense
not
last
to go
year.
Full Dana Brown.
I mean, remember when the Texans scored 44 on them because they were missing their entire starting defense.
Not to go full Dana Brown, but Matabike being healthy, like, it was like...
it's like acquiring a
key ad.
Thank you, Dana.
So I am a little bit higher than I was higher before the start of the segment or before like really like hearing it listed out of in and out. I'm still high. I just don't know if this is the year they win the Super Bowl, get over the hump. I guess
yeah.
The case to be made is that they absolutely smoked the Mentor and Doyle hires, and like those guys are fantastic, and Mentor is a good defensive coordinator. We just don't know as an OC. Same with Doyle, like, comes highly regarded.
I would say he's finally out of the Harbaugh world, but he just replaced the Harbaugh.
Yeah,
so
he still
felt like he's in their universe there. But I think my vibe for the Ravens is kind of like last gasp, right? Like, Lamar's, I mean, Derrick Henry's obviously like, what, 33? Although he's immortal, he's Wolverine. So
yeah.
Maybe he keeps it going forever. But Lamar Jackson, how well does his game age? He's obviously he got drafted in 2018, so he's been around for a little while now.
Yeah, he's like 29. 30.
Yeah, like how does his game age? How much longer does he have at the top of his game? Mark Andrews obviously is slowing down. So this feels like, even though they're renewed with a new coach and a new OC who's only 30, this feels kind of like the last gasp of this current Ravens run.
Yeah, it kind of feels like what the Bills did, maybe not last year, the year before, where
yeah.
It's just like, it's kind of like, you know, with Allen, with Lamar, like, you have a little bit longer of a runway. You know, it's not the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there is an element of, like, it's kind of now or never for this group, at least, with
and
these
I lean
guys.
Towards never. What's the projected win-loss there?
11.5.
Ooh.
Hefty.
Yeah, I think they're like a 10-win team.
I could see
11.
I could see the path to 11. I could see it to 12 even.
I have a hard time betting. I think they'll be good.
Yeah.
I have a hard time betting that they get to 12, so I can't take the over. So I guess
yeah.
I would, if I forced a bet, I would bet under. That's not a sell
you know
on the Ravens, but I just don't think they win 12. I think they win 10 or 11.
This, to me, is an over. But it has more to do with the other three teams in their division. Just
yeah.
Spoiler for the next two teams, I'm not high on them either. So
well, let's speed through those.
I think that's why it gets me to an over.
Let's speed through those since we're kind of up against it here. The Bengals last year 6-11, 12th on offense. This is so Bengals. 12th on offense, 30th on defense. Surprise there. And the complete 180 of the Bengals is the Browns, even though they're the same state. 31st on offense, 14th on defense. If they could combine into one Ohio, they might have a decent team.
That'd be a good team.
But the Browns, the Bengals, obviously, with a couple big adds on defense to hopefully bolster that team. Now, they do lose Trey Henderson, but they get Dexter Lawrence from the Giants, and they bring in Boye Mafe as well to rush the passer. The Browns, most of their adds, obviously, they lose Myles Garrett, but they bring in Jared Verse. That's not one for one, obviously, but they still do have a good player there, and they add in the wide receiver room. And the draft with KC Concepcion from A&M and David Boston. So what is your overall vibe on the Bengals and the Browns, Sean?
The Bengals, I'm kind of.
Are you last gasp, or you just think they've missed their window completely?
I kind of think last year was the last gasp, and then they brought everyone back.
Yeah,
you know, like,
well, especially on offense. I mean,
like they
all the offensive key guys are there.
They doubled down on like how they've missed the playoffs the last, what, 2-3 years? Like, it's a offense first team with very little defense. And while they did add Boye Mafe and Dexter Lawrence, like, is that a net positive from losing Trey Hendricks? Maybe a little bit, but is it that much of a positive? Like, is it that much
right.
of a upgrade or even staying neutral? And if you stay neutral, like, that's also bad because you weren't a playoff team. So I'm I'm just out just because of I've seen this fail now 2 years in a row in the exact same way, and they really didn't do anything to change my mind.
Yeah, you're probably right. My vibe is, though, if everything stays healthy, which is a huge ask.
That'll happen. That always goes well for these guys.
It won't. I mean, T. Higgins, we know his injury history. Joe Burrow, his injury history.
If they don't start slow, slow every year.
I was so glad to see that they're on the schedule for the Texans week two, because if you just Google Joe Burrow Bengals in September, like, they lost to the Raiders in week one a couple years ago. They are terrible in September, so great timing for them to be coming to Houston.
Every year, they're 4-7 in October, and they're the team no one wants to play in the playoffs. But guess what? They never make the playoffs.
They don't make the playoffs, except for that one time where they went into KC and won.
Yes, in 2021.
Yes, I know. It's been so long ago.
Trae Young led the Hawks to the East Finals that year.
God. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Yeah.
That's so long ago.
But they went in 2022, too, to the playoffs.
They did. They did go to the AFC title game.
That's right. They beat Josh Allen in Buffalo that year. Like, they have such huge highs.
But AJ was in freaking high school when that happened.
Well, he's also 22 years old. So a lot of things happen when you're in high school before that. He's young. Wrong person to ask. By the way, we'll have to read before the show is over. We found AJ's drink. I think he improves. It's one of those situations where I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I openly admit the odds are extremely low. But if Burrow, Higgins, Chase, and Chase Brown are all healthy, I think this team can win the division. I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't bet it. So what? Hit me with the win-loss total.
9.5.
God, that's a great number.
To me, Vegas. No. To me, that's not a good
Vegas.
Number.
No, I think they're an 8-9-1 team.
No, to me.
You going lower than that?
Yeah, 7-8.
7-8? Okay, all right.
They haven't won 10 games in a while.
Browns, what's the vibe quickly?
Terrible.
They suck.
They're one of my favorite vibe checks to do. This team stinks.
Who starts at quarterback?
Watson.
Watson, yeah. I think Sanders starts, and
probably Dylan Gabriel.
I meant to start the year, but I think Watson starts the year.
I think all these guys start.
Probably
they're all bad.
What's their win-loss total?
Their win-loss total is not high, I'll tell you that. Oh, actually, 6.5. A little too high.
I think they're a four or five win team.
You don't get much
lower.
They won
5 games last year.
You don't get much lower than a 4.5 just because the extremes are low likelihood.
Especially now with the added game.
Yeah. But also, this team is not winning 7 games.
No. Especially with Miles Garrett, like the best pass rusher in the league, they won 5 last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Verse is good, but he's not half of what Miles Garrett is. Like, literally on the sack total, he's not half. I think Jared Verse had, 8 sacks last year. Miles Garrett had, 24?
Yeah. In a weird way, if this team had Aaron Rodgers, I'd be, a little bit higher.
That they addressed the offense by drafting wide receivers.
Yeah.
If they had a normal bad quarterback,
I'd be like, okay, sure. But they have
John, is his 2020 form.
AJ was definitely in high school when that happened.
He definitely was. All right, we got to get out here. We're live from By the Wayside. We'll have to have a short segment on the other side of the break. We might go through some. We're going to go through some fantasy options here. I'm going to give you
What's your fantasy guy?
Well, some of these signature cocktails here are my fantasy, Sean. Like the Burning Daylight, the Smoky Juicy Kissed with Spice. Bold, sun-soaked, and not here to behave, just like the guy that drank it. That's this guy right here. Try that. No, not sun-soaked at all. I burn like crazy. But make sure you try that drink when you're out here By the Wayside. They got all your World Cup games on here, not only inside but outside on a 13-foot TV on the patio. They're open Monday through Friday, or they're open all 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, they have their happy hour, so make sure you stop by and check all that out. When we get back, I'm going to throw some either-ors, this guy or that guy in fantasy football, that when the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
All right, welcome back into the bullpen, finishing up hour number two. Brian and Sean live at By the Wayside tomorrow. Sean and I from 3 to 5. Sean, I'm going to make sure I remind you that again. 3 to 5, we will be at Tom's Watch Bar.
I set an alarm.
Downtown, you set an alarm. Okay, good man, good man. So come by and say hello to us there. But make sure you come by today because even after we're done at 3 o'clock, Jeremy and Joe will take over. You got your World Cup games on TV. We got Norway and France back to kick things off. I believe the other game right now is Senegal and Iraq. Yep. Or is the other game for this early window?
You can watch that on our YouTube stream.
No, Sean. Don't get us canceled. Okay. Don't get us canceled, Sean. Let's not have a repeat of yesterday. This is your newest World Cup spot, World Cup watch party destination in the East End. Every World Cup match is on, like the ones going on right now, inside and outside, because outside they have a 13-foot outdoor LED screen, plus TVs throughout the inside venue where we are. Huge free parking lot, cocktails, beer, bar bites, and plenty of shade in the outdoor art park. So make sure you come by and stop and watch your games. And try, there's another drink. We had the Burning Daylight and the Discounts of Self-Care. We both downed them pretty quickly. We loved them. But Courtney over there from our crew, she got the Blush and Mischief, which is gin, raspberry, citrus, and bubbles, described as bright, bubbly, and a little too easy to love. Playful up front with a sparkly finish that keeps things interesting. I think that really describes Jeremy Branham. I think if anyone at the station, you know, bright, bubbly, too easy to love, playful, that's Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a pretty apt description of the Brizzler there. All right, so as I promised before, we're going to wrap things up here in hour number two with a quick semi, a little fantasy. This guy or that guy, take your pick. I took guys that, three, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver that are ranked really close to each other. I'm going to ask Sean. I'm going to ask AJ. Who would you take if you're on the clock, you want this position, which guy are you taking? First one at quarterback. These guys are ranked 10th and 11th, so back-to-back. Trevor Lawrence or Patrick Mahomes, Sean?
This falls into the I don't want to feel like a moron playing fantasy football, so Patrick Mahomes.
AJ?
Yeah, I'll say Mahomes too.
I don't want to be the guy that goes, Lawrence, and then Mahomes is Patrick freaking Mahomes.
Yeah.
And like, oh, wait, I way overthought this.
See, I would go Lawrence because I don't care if I look like a fool. I do believe in Lawrence more. I mean, obviously, I was about to tote Liam Cohen as an offensive mind. We're not topping Andy Reid there. But I just have more faith in the current trend of that offense.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, Rashee Rice is in jail. Travis Kelce's more focused on his wedding. Like, I'm not really in love with the offensive weapons there. Plus, we don't know what Mahomes looks like in the early part of the year when he's coming off of injury. I would go Trevor Lawrence.
If his name wasn't Patrick Mahomes, I'd be way into it.
All right, next one here, we'll go to running backs. This is 12-13 at running back. Derrick Henry, the old man, or the rookie, Jeremiah Love.
Jeremiah Love. One year too old for Derrick Henry.
He's immortal, man.
He's
got Wolverine blood.
But there's too many weeks now where it is, you know, 12 carries for 48 yards. You know, like there's a little too much of that now where the top end, like three touchdown games, like the seesaw is just a little too out of whack. Give me Jeremiah Love.
That's fair. I think
it's close.
I just worry that the Cardinals don't score enough, so his red zone opportunities will be limited. And on top of that, like, I know they didn't draft him like third overall to give Tyler Algier 200 carries, but like, how much does Tyler Algier work in? Whereas Derrick Henry has it all.
Yeah.
So I would think I would still go Derrick Henry for one more year. What about you, AJ?
I think Love, just because he's an absolute home run threat, and also as a receiver, too, he can be very lethal.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, home run.
If you're
and
playing
receiver.
A full PPR, that does make a difference. Right. For
dishonorable fans.
All right, former teammates at wide receiver. One's number 8, one's number 11 on the current rankings. These are all from Underdog. AJ Brown or Devonta Smith? You know what? Let's go to AJ first, Cowboys fan. AJ Brown or Devonta Smith?
AJ Brown for sure. He's playing with an actual quarterback.
That's why I wanted to go to AJ first.
Yeah. And you know what? I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? I wouldn't go
unanimous.
I wouldn't go actual quarterback.
Yeah,
but
no, I wouldn't describe Jalen Hurts as actual quarterback, but I do believe in AJ Brown more than Devonta Smith.
Yeah. Better quarterback.
More touchdowns for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a vulture, as a touchdown vulture.
Yeah, that for sure. All right, so we got to end it here for this hour, but coming up next, I had something I was thinking about the other day when I was mowing the lawn. I was like, you know what? I don't know why this popped in my head in like 30 minutes into mowing my lawn. I'm rolling around the backyard there trying to finish up. And I just had this thought coming to my head, like, you know, which teams in Houston have gotten their rings of honor or retired numbers the most correct and who's doing it wrong? We'll talk about that. Houston, Rockets, Astros. Who's got too many? Who's got not enough? Who's doing it right? Who's doing it worst? That one, the bullpen returns. Brian and Sean live from By the Wayside in East Downtown. We'll be right back.